As planning for a new Cook County Community Center continues, we'll be speaking with schools around the state this week that have attached community centers to find out how that's working and what they've learned. And to start the series off, we're joined now by Redwood Falls School District Superintendent Rick Ellingworth. Welcome to the program, Rick.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us a little bit about your community center. What sort of a facility is it?
Well, it's a facility, Kelly, that we built onto our middle school, high school building in the year 2000. We actually moved into it. And it's really got four, I would say, feature areas. The first is an ice arena. At the time we built it, we didn't have a hockey team. We had community hockey, but because we built it and they put the sheet of ice in, made it into a beautiful arena, we now have boys and girls high school hockey. It's got a fitness center that is used by students and community, and it's got the latest equipment. It's just a beautiful facility. It's for people of all ages and folks that have all different kinds of needs. Our athletes use it, but so do a lot of our senior citizens, everything from, you know, barbells and dumbbells to all the latest cardiovascular equipment. Then we have a field house, and this is really a great thing for the school district as well as the community, but the field house is a huge facility. It includes an indoor running track, a four-lane indoor running track. It's got a Mondo floor surface, and inside the running track there are four courts that are used for volleyball, basketball, tennis. We built the community center and then designed the tennis courts around them, so when we have high school tennis meets, we have eight tennis courts. The kids do their meets. If it looks like it's going to rain, we move the event inside. And so it's just given us all kinds of flexibility like that. We also hold indoor track meets there in the early part of the spring before the weather gets nice. They've had conventions in that facility. And so the field house is beautiful. It's got curtains that drop down to divide the courts off. We also hold our gymnastics program on one of the courts during the winter. We set our equipment up. We leave it up all winter long. And there are bleachers there, and so it's a great facility for that also. And then finally, it's got a conference room. And the conference room is really three big rooms that have folding or partition doors that are all electronic, but they can be pulled back or left in place, but when we open the room up, it's large enough to seat about 400 to 450 people at banquets or wedding dances or receptions. It's a community center, and so they've had Ducks Unlimited banquets there, turkey shoot banquets, religious banquets, and it's really a great facility. We included a kitchen, a food preparation area. Sometimes people cater their meals or what have you to that, and then sometimes they prepare them right there. So it's been a phenomenal facility for us, Kelly, wow. But that's what's included.
And so it's attached to the school, but who runs your community center?
Okay, good question. And we've had a lot of people from all over the upper Midwest come and look at this because it is kind of a unique thing. But when we put the agreement together just before we built it, the school district and the city each had capital dollars or facility dollars that we could put in if the taxpayers gave us permission to build it. And so I think the district had about $4.5 million that it put towards the project. The city had about $4.5 million. And then at that time, we got a grant through the legislature for about $1 million. And so it's a $9 or $10 million setup. And when we did that, though, we felt it would be really best if we had a great working relationship. And but we thought that one of the two entities should operate it. So we agreed at that time that to two conditions, really. The first would be that the school district would be able to use any of the facilities or any of the parts of the facility anytime they wanted, as long as we gave sufficient notice. But then the city would be totally responsible for the operations of the facility, including paying the operating expenses. They have tax authorities and ways to create funding that the school district did not. And so they operate it, the city operates it, but the school, with proper notice, uses any parts of it that they need on a daily basis. it's been a great arrangement like that. And it all came about, Kelly, because the city leadership and the school district leadership determined that if we work together in an effort like that, we could probably have better facilities than either of us could ever afford, you know, individually.
Sure.
And it's the taxpayers, I think, were a little leery in the beginning, but they're just amazing now. We've got tremendous memberships. The city sells fitness center memberships, and we hope to get 300 or 400 memberships when we started. And these are at really reasonable rates, like $150 to $350 for a family. And instead of having about 300, I think they have over 1,000 community memberships. And this is from a community that's got a population of 5,000. So
yeah.
It's just great.
And since it's attached to the school, what have you done in terms of security?
Okay, well, we work together. Obviously, you know, schools have to have high security measures and try to be prepared for everything. So because that facility is attached, we just work with the city. They attend all our meetings when we talk about security. And we have put cameras in. It was designed so they could gate off different areas. All of the security measures are met very much to our satisfaction. In addition, to save some money in the last couple of years, the city asked and decided to go with a 24/7 arrangement, where if people couldn't get in during the hours the facility was open, which is largely 6 in the morning till 8 at night or 9 at night, if they had a certain kind of a pass, they could access parts of the facility 24/7. And that's worked out just great. There's kind of an honor system, but they do have cameras and all the latest technology to safeguard like that.
Yeah.
I could also add, Kelly, that because it was a joint process between the city and the school, there's actually an imaginary line that runs through the middle of it that separates what the school owns, which is largely the field house and the fitness center, and what the city owns, which would be this conference area and the ice arena.
Okay.
And by doing that, the city's allowed to have a liquor license or whatever that they can give to folks that want to have receptions in the conference room area or the banquet area. And that's made it very attractive to all kinds of audiences. If that's not their persuasion and they want a liquor-free thing, then that's how it is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to access the area for a wedding dance or something, then they simply buy a one-day liquor license through the city, and then they have security that's there that night, and the other areas are gated off. But it's just worked wonderful like that.
Great. Well, last question. Is there anything you would have done differently if you had to do it over?
You know, there are many things in life that I think we would probably do differently, especially from a leadership perspective, but we did a ton of things really well. This would not have occurred if we were working in isolation. We had the frank talks up front with our staff on, you know, it's got to work, so let's just have that be our mindset. And the response from the community has been phenomenal. I would say, Kelly, every weekend for all winter and now this early spring, there is some kind of use of that facility where our parking lots are full, and that impacts the rest of our community immensely because the hotels are full, the gasoline and convenience stations are used, the eating establishments in the community are used. We know that the business community is positively impacted because folks, when their kids aren't doing a tournament or playing some game, they're out and about enjoying the community. So it's just been a big green light and a big red shiny apple for us. I can't imagine anything we would do differently.
Well, great. We've been speaking with Redwood Area Public Schools Superintendent Rick Ellingworth about the Redwood Falls Community Center, and we're talking with communities around the region this week during the 8 o'clock hour on the AM calendar, and each has a community center attached to a school, and we're finding out how that's working and what they've learned. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Rick.
Thank you, Kelly.
Nice talking to you.
You too.